Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales for real life, Mr. Sacred Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Well, last night was so exciting. I sat in my house and I was able to watch my live Juicy Scoop from Sunday in my home. And so did so many of you. And you can still watch it. You go to heathermcdonald.net and you click right on there to watch this. And you can watch it from now until Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And then it is gone. It's gone from the universe. But let me tell you, it was so funny. It's almost 2 hours. It's Chris, Sarah, Justin, and Spencer Pratt, and they were hilarious, and I was really pleased with it, and I loved all the comments of how much you guys liked it, so thank you so much. You can check that out. Also, I'm coming back April 9th. Two shows at the Tempe Improv. The first one is sold out. The second one, there's still tickets. Come see me. I had a great time doing stand-up at Brea. I wore tennis shoes, and I have a bedazzled Juicy Scoop ski helmet in case I need it. So you do not need to worry, Tempe. I just want to get into, before I bring out Josh Wolf, who's a hilarious comedian, and we get really into some juice today, I just want to talk about the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Because, listen, I'm all for charity, and I love that Dolores had a like celebrity baseball game with all the cast of the Real Housewives in New Jersey, the husbands and everything, and some against some corporation. And they sold 2,000 tickets that went to charity. Good for her. I know that's part of her life. I'm glad we got to see it. I'm glad we got to see Teresa have a collab with her daughter Gia, bring leggings to everybody, and then Margaret go, I don't want to wear them. I don't. You weren't nice to me at the tree when we went ziplining at the tree thing. I don't want to talk about it. I can ask you a question about Louis. I don't like the way you're talking about me, so I'm not going to wear your leggings. And then we have to sit through, and we checked it. How many minutes was it? 18?
It was 14 minutes.
It was 14 minutes of just the actual baseball game. I mean, first inning, second inning, third inning, fourth inning. The only juicy part, which I don't even think was juicy, was when Teresa basically body shamed Margaret and said to some people, if Margaret would have worn my leggings, her ass wouldn't jiggle so much and she'd probably be a better baseball player and maybe she would score a point. That's what we had to sit through 18 minutes of. I love you, New Jersey. Your girls are being real, but I do not appreciate the editors that made me sit through 18 minutes of a baseball game. Okay. Now let's get to the fun and the juice from comedian Josh Wolf. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a returning favorite, an old friend, a total delight, comedian, musician,
wow,
model, Josh Wolf.
I have to tell you.
How are you?
I'm good. Nobody's ever described me as a total delight before. That felt pretty good.
You're pretty delightful. You've always been, you know, nice guy. So, you know, we had you on the schedule to come.
Yep.
And I was really like, wow, I think maybe by the time we record this on Wednesday, this Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, no. I still have so many thoughts and so much more has come out and other people have spoken. Will, of course, apologized. And Chris was just seen in Boston. The shows are sold out, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's also amazing. I mean, I'm sure he was doing fine, but you know, and not only, even if this didn't happen, audience would have been reminded that he's a great comedian and they should go buy his tickets.
Yeah.
But I really feel like if you were going to buy a ticket for him now, even if you are dying to hear what he's going to say about it, you're just like, I just want to support Chris Rock. I just want to support Chris Rock and know that I am a fan of comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay with what happened is what I feel people are.
I agree. I've been reading about the ticket sales and it made me laugh because they were writing it like this little underdog, Chris Rock, is finally selling tickets. I'm like, what are we talking about? He was going to sell out anyways.
Yes, he would have. Yes.
But I'm so curious as a comic.
Yeah.
What he's going to say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he, look, if he goes back, there's a couple ways to handle this. Just like that night. That night, he had three choices to handle it. As a professional, he could have handled it as a comic, or he could have handled it with his ego. If he handled it with his ego, there's a fight. If he handles it as a comic, which I almost expected him to do, I thought he was going to say something about...
Well, interesting that you say that. So I was talking to my son, Drake. We were talking about it. And he goes, you know, did you see how the first time... Will heckled him as he sat down and he said, keep your wife's name out of your fucking mouth. There's a moment where Chris is about to say something back. And then it's like, he checked himself and was like, I'm not in a comedy club. This isn't a random dude.
Yep.
This is the Oscars. And he went back into full blown professional mode. And we've all had our act, you know, interrupted, and we've had someone yell or be disruptive or whatever. And I've had to be like, stop, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. And I hate that.
Yeah.
But I am able to go back to literally the next word that I was going to say before I was interrupted. And it's just something that as comedians, we are really is the greatest talent. It's like you have to go on stage when you got in a fight with your spouse 2 minutes before, got word that a high school friend died. You have to be on stage for 110 minutes being funny, and you have to do it. And it's why it's such a like unique talent that we can pat ourselves on the back for, and why so few people.
Yeah. But also, Heather, like,
can do it.
You're talking about getting a room full of people together who have never met, and to get them to all laugh at the same thing. And then to get stopped midway and to pick up. But I'll tell you something. You know, when I hear people stand
in a regular comedy club, not the Oscars, because those people know each other.
Yeah. But when I hear people be like, well, Will Smith stuck up for his wife. Yo, even if you're going to run that narrative, here's what I would say. Because people are like, he did grown man stuff. I consider myself to be a grown man, too. Do you know what me as a grown man would have done? If I looked at Beth and saw her that upset, I would have looked at her. I would have patted her on the knee. I would have stood up at the joke. I would have waited side stage for him. When he walked off stage, I would have said to him, as a man, hey, man, not in front of the cameras, because when you do something in front of the cameras, that's a show. Yo, what Will Smith did was a show for Party of One. That was 100% for Jada to be like, look, Jada, I can be a man. Like, that was show for Party of One. A real man. What you do is you don't make a spectacle. It's not like you don't post on Instagram, this is how many charities I gave to. You just give to charities, right? So this dude, what he should have done, walked to the side of the stage and been like, hey, man, I don't know if you know what my wife's going through, but this is her disease. What you said really bothered her. I'm going to need you to apologize to her. Or when we come back from commercial, all they're going to be talking about is that you and I are fighting backstage.
Right.
That's grown man shit. Not a show for everybody to see. That's a dude who feels like he has to prove that he's there for, do you know what I mean?
Well,
like, that
was
sad.
I think it's so many things with Will Smith. I think it's extreme Hollywood privilege.
Yeah.
That supersedes any kind of sex, gender, whatever.
No doubt.
I don't know how old he was when he got, can you look up how old he was when he got Prince of Bel-Air?
Ooh.
And he already was successful prior to that.
Right.
He already had the song and the music. Very, very young. This isn't a person who got their first break at 32. This is someone that has and been beloved.
Mm-hmm.
There has never been a scratch on his reputation. People across the globe love him. And 22 is when he got that. And so, and as a couple, for many years, they were couple goals before people were using the word couple goals.
And untouchable.
Untouchable. Yeah. They dressed alike. They were cute. They would sit on Oprah. And even though she's 5 feet tall, she wears the pants. Oh, isn't it cute when a wife treats her husband like shit? Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny? But if a man does, it's complete abuse. Run for the hills. We're picking
Heather,
up a van and taking you to a shelter.
Think about the joke, Regina King, right? And by the way, you know what was lost that night is how great of a job that she, Wanda Sykes, and Amy Schumer did. I thought they were really funny.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that
what
up because but I want to get back to the couple goals thing. So the couple goals thing has changed, though. The narrative of the couple goals changed. For so long, I remember being in a writer's room, like maybe I was on, I think I was writing White Chicks or something, and some couple had broke up. I think Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman broke up. Mm-hmm. And I said, my gosh, you know, anyone can break up except for Jada and Will. And the whole place, like, exploded in laughter because we're like, the world will lose their minds. Like, they are the most beloved couple. Everybody wants to be them. They have the two cute kids. They're funny. They're funny on Oprah. Oprah loves their relationships. Yeah, they jab at each other. That was all exposed when her lover, who was her stepson's friend.
Yep.
Okay. How gross is that? If you found out that a man was having sex with his stepdaughter's friend.
Yep.
It would not be an entanglement,
no.
Okay? So that comes out, and then they had to address, well, we have an open marriage, da-da-da. Here's the thing. The girl that's sitting at home that's 28, who's single, her couple goal is not to be having an open marriage at 50.
No.
It's not. So the whole narrative changed. The whole way we feel about them changed. And, yeah, people joke about it on stage. And you're right. So the girls did a great job. Wanda, I don't know if you saw, Wanda just was on Ellen.
Mm-mm.
Wanda Sykes. And, you know, Wanda obviously, you know, is a comedian, but she's also – her first job was writing on the Chris Rock variety show because I worked with her on Kenan. They're extremely close.
I wrote on All of Us. I wrote on Will and Jada's show.
Oh.
So I've known about their relationship for a long time.
Okay, well, let me finish this, and then I want to hear about that. So anyway, she basically said, and Ellen was great, and she was like, the three of you did a great job. And she goes, the first thing that Chris Rock said to me when I saw him at the after party was he said, I went up to him to talk to my friend, and he was like, I am so sorry. She goes, what do you mean you're sorry? And he's like, this was supposed to be your night.
Yeah.
You and Regina and Amy did so great, and this is like – and she's like, obviously, it's not your fault, Chris, but that's the kind of person he is. And that's the kind – of person a good performer is.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the secondary player. That was your night, all that. And he, but anyway, so they talked about that, but, and they did do a good job and everything.
Great.
And it was fun and they joked about it, but no one, of course, you know, no one's talking about that really, but tell me about working on the show.
Let me just make one small note about, you know, there was a joke about how Regina King was single and she was calling dudes on stage to give them COVID tests with her tongue.
Okay.
Right? And so I was laughing at that. I was laughing. And Beth goes like, why are you laughing at that? I'm like, it's funny. She said, can you imagine if it was a male host calling women on stage to say that they're cute and they're hot and I'm going to give you a COVID test with my tongue, what that entire crowd would be doing? And
right.
I was like, I hadn't even thought of that. That's not where my brain goes. You know, they can do it, but I can't and all that. But so crazy because that was like, she was like, it's a direct, I'm going to violate you with my tongue. You have no choice because you're a good looking dude and that's what I want to do. And I was like, that's not where my brain goes.
I know everybody, you know, talks about the straight males in comedy and all that. But I'm the first to say that as a female, we get away with a lot more on stage than the guys can today.
Today, for sure.
100%.
For sure. Yeah.
That, you know, like, especially when you talk about men and your spouse and, or even messing with men in the audience versus messing with women. But it is a different thing. And men are raised different. I mean, it shouldn't all be the same. I don't want it to be the same.
No,
there are different standards for different things.
I do think, though, that, like, when you make somebody unjokeable, you separate them in a way that I don't think is good.
I agree. Great point.
That I don't – look, if you're unjokeable, does that mean you're better than me? Like, I don't quite understand, like, how that works. And I'm all aboard. Look, either you get to laugh at everybody or you can laugh at nobody. But to me, you don't get to pick and choose. That one touches my heart a little bit, but I like to laugh at fat people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can choose those two.
Right.
Although fat people are fun to
look at. But here, you know, here's the thing. Like,
sorry.
But here's the thing. Bethany Frankel, someone sent me something. She's a housewife of New York, but she's also very established. And someone's like, what do you think of this? And she's like, I mean, why does Will Smith get to say this? Is there some certificate you get as a comedian? First of all, I met Bethany Frankel 20 years ago, and she was obsessed with the fact that I was a comedian. She's always wanted to be a comedian, and she couldn't. So in her world, she feels like, oh, I can't say – I say something and I get shit. Here's the thing, people. We're all getting shit for what we say.
Yeah.
Comedians, politicians, normal people on podcasts. because it's so easy to make a comment. But what concerns me in the realm of comedy and live stand-up, which is still the purest form of comedy, it's more pure than a TikTok, a podcast, It's than a sketch, because you're completely vulnerable by yourself. And why I do think it's the hardest craft and why so few people can do it successfully is that, you know, it's just you saying this. And so it's for people now in their mind, whenever somebody says something on a podcast, on an Instagram, on a TikTok, they can write a comment.
Right.
So now they're going to be in the club, and hopefully this will be the thing that stops this. But I think the fear is this going to be more of a thing? That you're at a comedy club, someone says something you don't like, and they're ready to like start a fight with you because their opinion gets to be heard in every other medium and venue except in an actual live room.
I think 100% you're going to see an uptick on people walking to the stage. And when I see uptick, I mean, I don't think it's going to last. It'll be one of those things. But there's going to be people coming to the stage. Someone is going to get hurt. And I don't know if it's going to be a comic or an audience member. I don't know if it's going to translate and maybe not happen on stage, but it happens at meet and greets. We're so exposed at meet and greets, Heather. There's no security standing there. It's a line of fucking strangers. You don't know. It's dark, too. When I say something to somebody talking in the crowd, I don't remember what that person looks like. But they could be in that meet and greet line.
And they could be brewing the whole time.
The entire time.
I mean, thing is that, you know, this is where I'm always afraid of where the future's going on all levels, is like the haves and the have-nots. Now, someone who's very successful can go on the road, and even if they're playing small comedy clubs, they can hire private security. Mm-hmm. They can have local security. They could have security with them. An average comic who's making a couple grand to do four shows, the club doesn't even have the staff for security. You're certainly not going to be able to afford your own security.
Probably a papered show.
Yeah.
So the people aren't true fans of yours. Mm-hmm. And so if you say something, all it takes is for you to embarrass the wrong guy sitting with his wife or girlfriend.
Yeah.
When I was in Nashville, Zany's years ago, mm-hmm. I was making fun of this dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up and started to walk to the stage.
Okay.
And by the way, not too long ago, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to mention the club because they asked me not to, because I have a video of this, but they asked me not to post it. It was a dude at my show who pulled a knife on a security guard. There's no metal detector walking in. No one's getting patted down. It is the Wild West, and you've taken it for granted. The people are there just there to have fun, but you have no idea who's sitting out there.
And the thing, what I was saying about being a stand-up is like you're completely vulnerable. You don't have a band behind you. You don't have a co-star. You don't have furniture, which is why, when I fainted, I fell, because like if I felt, faint, I would have grabbed on someone's arm, grabbed on a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
When are you really just by yourself like that? And so I also think like going back to the situation, I wonder like, was Chris like, ha ha, Will's going to come in and take the mic from
me
or say something.
Yeah.
And then I think, when he was hit, he was so shocked. And now there's a lot going into Chris Rock's background and people are analyzing interviews that he's done, which are, very sad. He did a Howard Stern interview many years ago, and he talked about that there was child abuse, there was sexual abuse mm-hmm. in his childhood, and he found himself in a white school where he felt very ostracized, and he was a small kid, and
bullied.
He was physically bullied and hit.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, his reaction to that. And I'm like, it's a combination of that, but it's also the combination of being a professional doing this business since he was a teenager, and also being like, okay, dude, and like trying to diffuse it. My question is though, very weird that, I don't know if the cameras caught it, but if that happened, how is Jada as a normal spouse? We've all seen our husbands. You have to put your hand on your husband,
yeah.
or even just driving in traffic, maybe your husband's being, you're like, chill out, dude. Like, whatever. Did she love this moment? What is going on?
My personal opinion?
Yes, I do.
My personal opinion is he laughed. She didn't. He looked at her. She gave him the, look, Again, personal opinion. I don't know them personally.
You do know them personally. You said you worked on the show.
I did work on the show, but we've all seen the red tape, the red table talk.
Talk.
Right? We've seen him emasculated.
Yeah.
So you kind of have a window into what's happening at that house.
That's what I'm saying. It was cute on Oprah 12 years ago.
Yeah.
That she wore her tiny pants around this 6'2 husband. And you know what? It's not cute anymore.
No.
It's not okay. And women and wives can be toxic too. Okay. Yeah. And women can be narcissists too. It's not always the horrible husband.
She basically, without a doubt, what she did to him on Red Table Talk was so like, I think it changed everybody's view.
You mean the episode of where they, about the open marriage?
Yeah, about the open marriage. Yes. She basically said he was doo-doo stew in bed. Like she did not, no real glowing reviews of Will Smith's penis. You know what I mean? And so like you're getting smashed and you got to sit there and take it like a dude. Like, yep, this is the type of open relationship we have. She can tell everybody about my tiny dick on a live stream. And I just got to sit there and be like, we got a great marriage. Right. And so now not only that, you're fucking my son's friend, just emasculated spot after spot after spot. So this was, in my mind, he wasn't slapping Chris. He was slapping Jada anyways.
I was never a fan of Jada's.
That was
because
tough one.
I felt in talk shows and things, she was always so arrogant, like, I'm so above it. My kids are so smart. They don't have to finish high school. They don't have to go to school. They're so this, you know, they're so that. And I'm not putting the kids down. They are talented kids.
Yep.
I met Jaden once, and he was like completely delightful.
Yep.
But I mean, talk about, you know, giving a lot handed to you and everything. I mean, off the bat. And I just think, and then the kid wrote, that's how we do it.
Heather, here's what's crazy.
And Jaden tweeted that.
Here's what's crazy. First of all, that's how we do it. That, like, that dude's never been in a fight in his life, Jaden. But
well, he trip on the skirt. He wears skirts and stuff, which is all good.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
But Chris is,
but you know what? My kids have never been in a fight. Let's talk about the fact that kids of a certain age and where they grew up, my sons have never been in a fight because fights just don't happen.
Of course.
In their environment, and they shouldn't be fighting.
Look at Will's open-handed falling backwards slap. He's never been in a fight either, except in a movie. Like, this is a dude who was already, he swung on a guy who was 6 inches smaller, probably 80 pounds lighter, whose hands were behind his back.
Right.
He was standing like this the whole time.
Yeah.
And Will was so unsure of what he barely knocked him off his spot. Like, it just seemed like two dudes who just, this is not a normal situation for either one of these guys. I will tell you, I felt sad for Will Smith. I'm not angry at him. I'm not one of those dudes who's like, his Oscar needs to be taken. If you're taking his, you better take Woody Allen's.
Right.
And you better take Roman Polanski's.
Absolutely.
If we're going down the line, you know what I mean? So I don't think this makes him a bad guy.
But I do think, you know, he should have been removed.
100%.
Should have been removed.
100%.
And if they still wanted to have him win the award, then he could have that moment to apologize. But he should have been removed just like anybody else in a comedy club. But I just think, in defense, I just don't even think they knew how to react. I don't know what they were thinking. They knew that he was going to win.
Yep.
And, you know, But the rumors are flying. The rumors are also flying. Was this beef about them because Chris and Jada had an affair?
What?
And now, these are just blogs coming out, and these are rumors.
Maybe that's what Chris was going to say. You know what? You should have hit me when I fucked your wife.
Like, I think he wanted to say something like that. Or,
me too.
Oh, what, you know, well, there's a lot of, you know, a
lot of things.
There's other parts of your wife that's been in my mouth.
People's mouth. Yeah, 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 all that stuff. Yeah.
But the rumor, I don't think is that strong. It's just that they worked, Jada and Chris worked on Madagascar, which is cartoon.
Yeah.
Which the greatest thing about doing a voiceover is that you don't even have to be in the same room with the person.
And you show up in sweats.
And they're like, and in the article, it's like, well, they had great chemistry. I'm like, as cartoon characters? Alone, like it wasn't like they were like, you know, in like a movie about having an affair or something. Yeah. Like, you know, like.
And a lot of times they're not even in the same room doing their lines. It's just, you know what I mean? You just say your line and another line. Like, you're not actually doing it with the other people.
The other joke was from 2016. Chris Rock said, Jada.
It's a great joke.
Jada, yeah. And it was, that's like me not something about Rihanna's panties.
Yeah, I wasn't invited to that either.
I wasn't invited to Rihanna's panties either. She wouldn't be invited. I do think there's been a jealousy about Jada's career with Will, because that's another rumor that came out, is that, you know, when they started, yeah, he had Fresh Prince, but she was like a guest star. I don't know. And she's had a decent career, but is there a movie that you're like, when Jada Pinkett was in this part? I remember her having a small part in the Tiffany Haddish Girls Night. She's gotten thrown a few little things. She's not hilarious. She's not a strong actress. She didn't have, you know, a great sitcom where she was the star of it.
I couldn't have named one thing that she was in, actually.
There isn't.
Now that I think about it. But I will say this.
She is best known.
To be Will's wife.
To be Will's wife and to be this, like, this couple goals, you know?
I will say, like, when they walked the red carpet, I remember saying to Beth, my wife, to whoever's doesn't know, I remember saying, yo, she looks amazing. And I didn't know about the disease either.
I said that too. I go, so many women are rocking like shaved heads. I really
she looked
thinking,
like she was in shape. Her, yeah. I was like, and her eyes, I was like, she looks gorgeous
she is
tonight.
Gorgeous.
And so that joke, when you break it down, even he was basically saying, hey, you buff, good looking girl, woman in the front row.
It's a positive.
Yo, if you look at Demi Moore in G.I. Jane, she was jacked and gorgeous.
And also,
what
her
are we talking about?
Her
was green.
Was green.
Like army green.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we talking about?
Right, exactly.
So crazy to me.
And I just watched something that she did within the last couple weeks where she talks about how her hair was a burden. Every casting director wanted it to be either curly or straight, or she had to blow it, or she had to do this or that. And now she doesn't have it anymore, and she doesn't give a fuck what anyone says. So if anything, she could have been like, sign me up. I'd finally get a lead in a movie.
Yeah. You know what? I will tell you. So she feels like somebody to me who feels like she's above comedians. She feels
dance
like
around clown.
That's what she feels like. But let me ask you.
Oh, you also
a
know that Chris Rock, one of his bucket list things when he turned 50. Also, I love it when people's bucket list is to do stand up.
Yeah.
As if it's just something you just can get up and do once.
Yeah.
So his bucket list was to do stand up. Someone sent me a video. Of course, he's got a gorgeous crowd. Will.
Yeah, I remember that.
So he did it. Not funny.
Neil Brennan, I think, wrote that set.
Well, one of the jokes was, and one of the other things I want to do is fuck Kathy Griffin. And someone wrote like, wow, I wonder how Kathy Griffin's husband feels about that joke.
Yeah.
Like,
by the way,
there was a joke of him making fun of a bald guy on Arsenio.
Yeah.
Like, complete hypocrisy. But I think we can also say he's not right.
Here's what
maybe
I would
say. Maybe because of being in this awful marriage, maybe it's always been
brewing. Let me ask you a question.
Maybe he hasn't faced his sexuality. There's rumors about his sexuality.
There was when I was on that show.
And there has always been.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. And I think you and I feel the same way. And Beth and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
Open marriages.
Yes.
Yo, I know people go into them with good intention, but that shit's got a shelf life. Don't you think? Like, maybe it works when people are in their 20s or 30s, but you're a 50-year-old person and your spouse is like, hey, I'm not going to fuck you, but that 20-year-old looks good. I don't think you can ever. Like, that guy's ego, I'm the head of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I am untouchable, literally, by my wife, who also only fucks young dudes. Like, it's got to mess with your head. Can you imagine in your life an open marriage working?
No, I couldn't.
Not for me.
But there has been one thing that I thought that I've been trying to – that I've mentioned that I thought this is the only way it could work.
Okay?
You know how Mormons go on like a 2-year mission?
Yeah.
Okay? if this became a standard in marriage, that on year – I mean, provided you don't have kids, but let's say childless kids, people, or whatever, on a certain year, and everybody does it, where you're like, oh, you're coming up on your 11th year, or whatever, you're coming on your, so where are you going to do your sabbatical?
I'm going
to Spain, he's going here, and you go do your thing for 2 years, and then you come back.
I love that.
And it's like, no questions asked, or maybe we don't want to stay together, but the point is you get to have some new experiences, but you come back to the person that you committed to life, but you aren't on a day-to-day where they know that you're only screwing during that sabbatical, not anywhere you go it could happen.
And there has to be a rule, no fucking your kids' friends.
Ugh.
That has to be, it's got to be called like the Woody Allen rule, like, or...
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, that's what really bothers me, because as a, you know, a mom of boys and a stepmother, and she met that, the stepson when the stepson was like four, you know, like that she's been in that child's life for a really, and also I felt really bad for the boy of August, whatever his name is, who's a successful guy, but still why I'm not for older men preying on young women, and why I'm not for younger, older women preying on young men, whether they're over 18 or not.
Yeah.
It's because if it's one of that sexual relationship is, can be very, such a power dynamic if the younger person is not experienced and not mentally mature.
Yeah.
So he gets with this woman who she is smart. Okay. And you know, and all this, and probably fell in love, and then she broke his heart. And mentally, I don't think he was right. And that's why he shared it.
I agree.
You know, like
I agree.
It screwed him up.
I will say, like, I'm so just this, like everything else, has a ton of gray area. So for Jada, honestly, I love that. I watched a couple of those Red Table Talks and I'm like, oh, she's really good at this because she's so direct and so pointed in her comments. And she's smart and articulate, right? This thing with Will, man, he's a good dude. You think about how he treats people and the amount of money he's put in charity. Everybody's got their breaking point.
Yeah.
But like, I really don't know what happens with his career. Like, do you think the roles roll in? Do you think people are like, nah? Do you think he's going to have to do self-funded stuff? Like,
no, listen, everybody's will be forgiven, but you need to go away for a while. And then you do either an Oprah interview in Santa Barbara, or you're
in a Quentin Tarantino movie for
8 minutes.
Or you do
a little documentary type of thing. You have a moment where you really come to it. And I think the moment might be that they break up.
Wow.
Like in a couple years, like they're gone their separate ways, and he's either living his truth, whatever that might be, by himself, with someone else, with someone of the same sex. I don't know.
If you're
and whatever, and then we forgive him, because then we go, that's why he was being weird.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't being authentic. He was hiding a secret. He wasn't, you know.
Do you think, so many questions about the comedy part of this for me. Do you think Chris ignores it? Do you think he writes 5 or 7 minutes on stage and takes it on the tour? Do you think he lays into Will and Jada more? Because honestly,
he has a show tonight, right? So we're going to know tonight what he says.
Yeah, but Will. For me, if it was Chappelle, I don't know, man. Like, I go back and forth. Like, other comics, I think, wouldn't have been a professional and they would have just started laying into him.
Well, I think, if you want me to predict what he'll say tonight, if his show is tonight or tomorrow, I'm not sure, in Boston, it will be that he comes out and he absolutely addresses with whatever he feels, wants to do, but is funny for like maybe 5 minutes, and then goes into what he's been working on for a year.
They should let him host the Oscars next year. 100%.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
They should be offering him.
Yeah, he may not want to. He might. I don't know. This could be. I don't know. We'll see.
I think he will. I think he'll do a bunch of jokes about it. I think they'll do a sketch next year, he and Will.
Right.
I think they'll lean into it to just make all the jokes and then just get it out of the way.
So I was watching this and this whole thing, and I remembered something. I have only been slapped in the face once in my entire life. I'm proud to say. I'm lucky to say.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people can't say that.
Yeah.
And it was caught by complete surprise and on camera.
When?
Chelsea Lately. So they told me, okay, the producer.
What season?
I don't know the season. It's, you know.
Which studio are we at?
If someone can find this, please find it and send it, because I definitely never watched it. So we were at this studio at Universal.
Okay.
Because I'm remembering like the steps that where I was. You know what? I don't know. Because the writers were always above the stage. So I'm pretty sure it was Universal.
Okay.
So towards the end of the run. And they just were like, okay, so in this cold open, you're going to come down and stand where the cold open is with Chewie, and you're going to say this dumb line or whatever. Okay. You know, I say the dumb line or whatever it is. And I guess I had to come down or something, so he's at my level. And I say something like, da-da-da-da-da. And Chewie, opened hand, smacks my face.
I vaguely remember that.
And then that was it. And then I was done, and I was just, like, shocked, and, like, it hurt. And I go upstairs to where all the writers are. Like, you know how they're all – they would always watch in, like, Jen and Chris's room, right? I go to that room, and I remember Chris exactly where he was, and he's sitting in the chair, and I walk in, and they – everybody, because they didn't know this joke was happening either. And they were looked at me, and, like, they – I remember Chris was like, that was no okay. Like, I'm going to cry. Like, it was so – that's why I'm saying, like, I have such a feeling for Chris, because it's like you didn't know – and you're like, it just takes you a minute. And then when you get the love that, like, he's getting, like, I'm telling you, he's probably been going through it for 3 days, Chris. Because it's sometimes it's the love that you get that almost brings on the tears and the emotion. Because then you realize how awful it was. And they were just like, they were horrified. It's wrong. I burst into tears and everything. And then I come, you know, and so I'm telling Peter the story. And Annie's like, did you remember that? And he goes, no. He's like, there's no way you would have told me that. I go, yeah, I wouldn't have told you because you might have gotten pissed and I didn't want to lose my job.
Yeah.
And he's like, what about NBC Universal? I go, I don't even know if they ever watched our shows, but they certainly weren't going to tell Chelsea what she couldn't do.
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't care about me. And it was also a different time. And I think we are a much more sensitive society than we were eight, 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I felt empathy for Chewie. I thought it was disgusting that they made him hit me. He would have never done it on his own, and he wouldn't have...
That was not his...
No.
No.
I mean, he would do anything they tell him to do.
Yeah.
He's, you know, an immigrant on a TV show. He's a little person. This was it. And, you know,
I mean,
there was that. There were no opportunities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when the show ended, there weren't opportunities for him, you know? So, like, he was smart enough to know, like, I'm not going to rock this boat. And I was smart enough to know I wasn't going to rock the boat either. And I was like, wow, that was sucked. I never went up to our executive producers and was like, what the hell? No one ever apologized to me. Like, that was just what somebody decided at the top, Chelsea or the executive producer decided this is funny. And nobody thought, like, wait, we're going to have, like, a man smack a woman on stage.
Yeah.
And like, but I also think, like, even Will in that moment, I don't, you know, definitely don't think he thought it through of, like, you're hitting another vulnerable person, you're hitting another man, you're hitting another black man. Like, I don't think he thought of any of the but still, his was in a moment and this was, like, written out and the director knew it was happening at Chelsea lately and
if
everything.
If they had asked you about it, would you have said okay? And would that have made it different? If they had been like, hey, this is the joke, we're going to have Chewie slap you in the face. Are you okay with that?
I mean, if I knew it was like a set bit and maybe I'm like, if it was light,
yeah.
It just was so hard.
Part of it also
and
is.
I mean, but still, it's such a surprise.
Violated.
So I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, maybe I would have said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I never said no once on that show.
None of us ever said no on that
I
show.
I never
no.
said no. And I, you know. But I definitely was not asked.
Heather.
Because I remember how shocked I was, and I remember how shocked everybody else was. And that is my memory. You know, my memory's pretty good. If someone remembers that they did ask me, I don't know. Chewie's gone. But no, the shock of the smack and everything. And I know I didn't watch it that night. Like, I purposely didn't want to watch it back. And... But, you know, there was a time, there was Three Stooges. I mean, there was a time where people hit each other.
All the time, yeah.
And there was a time where, like, people did surprise smack people, like, in the Oscars and stuff in the past. So it's like, but, you know, this was just a lot, yeah.
Listen, we are all so lucky.
Yeah.
That E! Universal has decided not to put any of that shit on YouTube, because we would all be in trouble. The shit that we did on that show just 8 years ago.
Yeah. This and this being one of them. This being one of them is not Heather, cool to have somebody hit a woman.
Leave me alone? We not only did we do that.
What do you want to talk about?
I mean, like, it's so crazy what happened on that show.
It, because of the and social media too.
Yes, 100%.
But there were a couple other things I want to talk about.
Tony's that's my buddy.
Tony. Oh, what I want to talk about, so what about the Will and Jada show that you worked on? What was your opinion of them as a couple? Because they were not featured in it. They were executive producers, right? It was a scripted show about their life, about a blended family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The what I got from it is that she was in charge. Without a doubt, she had somebody on, just one of her friends on the writing staff. Just one of her friends.
And how would that person write? Just throw out ideas? Or would they obviously they weren't going off for 2 weeks to write a full episode.
I think that person was really there just so.
To be the spy?
Yeah. Just so Jada knew what was happening.
Who was up and who's saying anything.
Yeah. But I will tell you, like, their dynamic was very interesting. And the dynamic with the kids was very interesting. Like, I'm not above, like, you raise your kid how you want to raise your kid.
Right, right.
But it was just way different than anything that I
why? Would've. What was the difference?
I think the way they allowed, they raised, so I'm not.
They've talked about it. They're we don't scold them. We let them, you know.
I don't agree with that.
Like, I think Jaden said, like, I don't read books, but I might write one. Just things like that where you're like, okay.
Your eight-year-old should not be addressing adults, in my mind.
Yeah.
But they always treated their kids, not like kids, like adults.
Well, that's a Scientology thing,
right?
Too.
So like, it was always, so that was, and I don't know these, I don't know them now. They could be great kids. It was not my cup of tea to have an eight-year-old talking to me like that. So I always kind of avoided
this. What would they say to you?
Just, they would talk to you like, he called people Mr. and Mrs.
Your son.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jacob called people Mr. and Mrs. There is a certain level of respect.
Right.
Yeah, you're a kid. And I'll tell you straight up, you're a kid. You're not like a human. You're a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you haven't hit the... You're human, obviously.
Right.
But like, I'm not treating you like an adult. And you don't get to talk to me like I'm just one of your buddies. That's just not the way I get down. But their kids seem very evolved, I guess. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell somebody how to raise their kids. I wouldn't want somebody to tell me how to raise mine. But, like, it was very clear. There were all the rumors about Will and his sexuality. I'm not sure I ever bought into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you this, man. That dude came to the set and shook every hand, said hello to everybody, took every picture. The only person that didn't take a picture with him, actually, was Jacob. Will asked, "Hey, you want a picture?" And he was like, "Nah."
Just because you were a little kid.
Yeah, he was a little kid. He was like, he didn't even know who he was. He was like, "Yeah, I don't want a picture with you. I don't know who you are."
Right. No, I mean, I think he's always been so well liked and has such a great reputation. That's another thing that is very shocking to the world.
Yeah.
Well, we see that he's at his shows. So this was interesting that Tiffany Haddish called Will Smith slapping Chris Rock the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Tiffany is a black female comedian. Yep. She is friends with Jada. They did Girls Trip together. I assume they're friends. I would say to Tiffany, I don't know when you gave this statement, but you didn't think it through. Because as a comic, I think that your top priority should be thinking about the point of view of the comic in this situation, not the woman, not the man, not the audience member, the comic, because that's what you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I go back to, when somebody says words and your reaction is violence, that's wrong. I am somebody who would stick up for my wife if I felt like she needed sticking up for.
Right.
But again, the way he did it was not what grown people do. Well, that was a dude who's been pushed into a corner and weak and feels like he needs a public display to show everybody what type of man he is.
Well,
but a man goes backstage and goes face to face.
Well, it's like there's one thing to defend your woman when, somebody on the streets attacking her or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, when you're in a full ball gown, no one could even get to her if they wanted. It was enormous. Like, she was definitely safe.
Watching her get down that red carpet, that thing
was
heavy.
I mean, to say the most beautiful thing. Yeah. I mean, Tiffany, don't agree.
I don't agree either. But,
But wait, I wanted to also get to...
By the way, Jada looks so good in that. Gorgeous.
So this was interesting. This came out yesterday. Amy Schumer's joke on Leonardo DiCaprio at Oscars from this Oscars was stolen, they're saying. There was a tweet that came out in 2021. It was December 23rd, 2021, by this girl. Her Twitter name is P-J-O-R-K, mm-hmm. Nicole Conlon. She wrote, Leonardo DiCaprio is so passionate about climate change because he wants to leave a better world for his girlfriends. So I should have read Amy's joke, but Amy's joke was basically the same thing. However, doesn't mean that Amy wrote it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that, you know, hey, you're in a writer's room and you could have read that tweet and you could have, it could have gone in your head and could have, you know, it could have come out.
Yep.
Also, since this article came out, there was another tweet even prior to it that was very similar to that girl's tweet.
Also, it's an easy joke.
Right.
If I were in the writer's room, I promise you someone's going to have a joke similar to that. Once you start, guys, the way the writer's room works is, so Heather Tellis says a joke and people just start changing it or maybe tagging it. You're going to end up with this is an easy Leo joke. To me, you know what it is? It's like a couple of years ago, and Carlos Mencia did steal jokes, but a couple of years ago, there was that whole thing with him and Joe Rogan and Ari Shaffir. And they were like, he stole Ari's joke because the joke was super similar.
Yeah.
But also it turns out a gazillion comics had similar jokes because it was an easy joke. Like there's only so many ideas and there's so many of us writing jokes out there. Do you know what I mean?
But also I just think sometimes writers, you know, are kind of lazy and they keep it to themselves. And there was a whole chapter in Jay Moore's book many years ago that I read that he was completely honest about of how he was doing stand-up and he was on SNL or he saw stand-up do something.
That's right.
And he stole it and he admitted to stealing it and he admitted and it was
Bert Kreischer's joke.
It was really What do you remember more about it? Because I just remember reading about it and being I loved that he was honest and the vulnerability and like this is what happened and I knew it was wrong, but I was like, oh well, you know. And so sometimes with being accused of, and Amy has, you know, I'm like, well, who was around her? Because my first writing joke was Keenan Ivory Wayne's, and he'd come up with some funny thing, and the writers would be like, Joe so and so does that in his act. Keenan was like, really? Okay, well, then I'm not going to use it. Because similar people come up with things. Keenan wasn't trying to steal that person's joke. Keenan never saw that in the club. We saw it in the club, and it was our job.
That's right.
To make sure that he doesn't do someone else's joke and look like he stole a joke.
100%.
So if I was Amy Schumer right now, I'd be kind of pissed at whoever handed me that joke.
There's no doubt that there's an entire writer's room coming up with this stuff. I've always been like, do you ever write something and be like, wait a second, this is too funny and it came too easy? Have you ever Googled it and been like, that's why I knew, that's why it was funny this quick, because somebody, I heard it somewhere. Like, there are times where I'm like, wait a second.
I've never Googled it, but I've done stuff where then I've seen other people do too much stuff. Yeah. And then I kind of go, maybe this is a little hacky.
Do you ever?
And then I just kind of stop doing it. Even though I believe I was the first person and probably put it in other people's minds, I'm like, I'm okay to release it.
I do the same thing too. You know what my theory is? My theory is basically, if I think this is the last joke I'm going to write, I should quit.
Yeah.
So you have it. Take it, whatever. Yeah. But like... these are easy topics.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, Jacob went to kindergarten with Leo's current girlfriend. So like
your son, yeah.
Yeah, and her mom dates Al Pacino.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What a similar type.
By the way, when they came out on the Oscars.
Wait, was Al Pacino... No, it's Robert De Niro, who was married to his wife for a long time, and now they're going through an ugly divorce. Al Pacino, I guess, is single, but Robert De Niro is married to someone for a really long time, and now they're getting divorced.
Pacino is dating, I think her name is Lucilla or Camilla? Lucilla.
DiCaprio?
Lucilla is Camilla's, That's Lucilla is the young woman's mom. She's dating Pacino. Did you see Pacino on the Oscars?
No, I didn't watch the Oscars. I was performing in Brea. So,
yo,
yeah.
When he came out, I was like, oh no.
People age.
I know, but when him and Coppola and De Niro came out, I was like, this is not a good. You know what the Chris Rock Will Smith thing covered up? That they wheeled out like 12 100-year-old people to read lines off the prompter. That Liza Minnelli thing was the most cringeworthy.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
I was like, come on, man, what are we doing? And then when you had, you know, it was like the, it was like between Coppola and Pacino and De Niro, there was so much shaking up there.
Yes.
It looked like they were doing some weird dance. Like, it was like the old. It covered up a lot of holes in that entire broadcast.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the other people that won. You know, Beth
definitely.
When the broadcast ended, I was like, did they do Best Director?
Yeah. I know.
I don't remember.
That's all you could think about.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I think I might ask for a security bump by the front of the stage for my shows. I think I might. Just have someone sit there.
Well, you know what, though? Unfortunately, you can do that. But it might come out of your pay at the end because not every club can afford to have extra security. You might want to ask before. We'll ask. Are you still with Silvio?
Yeah.
I have to say, I was at Chicago City Winery.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 years ago or whatever, before COVID. And they're like, and this is your security. And they were like off-duty Chicago cops or whatever. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so hot. Like, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
But I didn't have it this year.
You didn't?
I didn't. I don't know if they weren't available. I don't know who paid for it. I certainly didn't ask for it. I loved it. But it was not – I think I had somebody help with the meet and greet, but I did not – it was not like how I had, like, these two, like, you know, hot Chicago cops that,
that's
you know
–
Yeah, that's what I want. And – Yeah, I remember one time I was doing a show in San Diego and I got out of my car. It was the La Jolla Comedy Store. Yeah. And this guy walks up and he's like got these, you know, this paper and he's like, excuse me. And he shows his like badge. And I was like, oh my God, hot. Like La Jolla Comedy Store got me another like off duty cop.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm serving you. So I was served.
No.
Yes.
What'd you get served for?
I got served by the American Comedy place suing me. Mark this in case I can't keep this in the show.
Yo, okay. So that guy, you're talking about the...
Yeah. Peter, we are...
Should we tell a story about
well,
that?
Well, you can tell a story, and then if we have to cut it out, we have to cut it out. We are... This whole story, this whole thing, we are going to share when it's... complete. It's basically complete, but Peter and I just haven't taken the time. But you had a story about it, right?
Well,
the San Diego American Comedy Club sued me.
I used to do a joke where I would let the microphone slide between my hands and it would stop about an inch before the stage.
Right.
One show, the microphone hit the stage.
Okay.
So my manager at the time, he emails me, he calls me like 3 days when I get back into town. And he goes, what the fuck happened down there? I go, what do you mean? He goes, let me read you this email. And this it went on to say, like, you know, if your client, you know, insists on breaking our club's equipment, we'll have no choice but to, and tried to charge me like $500 for a new microphone.
But you continued with the show, so the mic was working, right?
100% working.
Yeah.
It might have maybe had a little dent in it, maybe. But by the way, and if I had broken it, I'll pay for your mic.
Yeah.
But the email we got, it made it sound like I walked in there, took a shit on the stage, smeared it on the walls, did like this with the microphone. It was hitting people like insanity. But the more I talk to other comics, they're like, yeah, this dude, that's his MO.
Oh, yeah. No.
I can't wait to hear about yours.
I mean, the story, there's so much to the story. I'll save it for another day. But it's like an unbelievable thing like that that just got out of control. But anyway, so... About security, like, yeah, I don't know. You know, we'll see. Hopefully this is a check and people don't try this shit and don't do this. And, you know, so there you go. Let's get into some other news. Speaking of other stuff.
Look at that guy.
Eric Church, I guess he's some hot country guy.
He is.
Anyway, He canceled a sold out show in an arena and sold out. And because he's a fan of some team and he wants to go to the game with his family. And he has said that is why. And he's like, I'm sorry, this is my team. And they're going to whatever.
So his team must be in the final four.
Yeah.
And he has, yo, this is what that tells me.
And he said, I know it's selfish, but I want to go to the game with my family.
He's got so much money.
They just refunded all the tickets.
Yeah. He basically is like, I've got so much money.
4 days before. It was a show in San Antonio. 4 days before.
But you can already tell how confident he is. He's wearing a purple suede coat, which I'm sure for a country star is probably out of step a little bit. But his music is fantastic. But, you know, the balls it takes to do that, like probably 40,000 people and just be like, I'm going to go.
I remember when you and I and Brad went to Atlanta to do the show. And
yeah,
it was the only time Chelsea ever was sick, and she was beyond sick.
Yeah.
And so they had to cancel the show.
Yeah.
And the tweets and the things that I was getting, and no one was mean. They were just like, what? We've been driving 6 hours. We came from our college. We were got this motel. We have 8 people in a room. Like, they scraped their money to come see us.
Yeah.
And it was always that part that I was like, it's not about that you refunded the ticket, you know? And that's the way I felt about Adele. And I'm sorry. It's like, it's so shitty because it's not just the ticket for the money. It's, I got time off from work. This was my wife's anniversary. This was our baby moon. This was this, whatever. And it's like, and they are such loyal fans that they made a trip around to see you. A major dick move.
I agree. I don't think, look, and I don't think you get points for being honest.
No.
Like that, you know what I mean? Like, at least I love it when people feel like they can do shitty things, and as long as they're honest about
it. Right, yeah.
But I was honest about it. Yeah, but it's still a shitty, that's like saying no offense.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean?
No, I was saying, like, when Adele canceled her shows, I was like, she is dick whipped. She is worried about this boyfriend.
Yeah.
Along with everything else, she just was like, you know.
Is dick whipped a real thing?
Yes.
I've heard pussy whipped. I've never heard dick whipped.
There's girls that are dick whipped that are, maybe it's not just stick with, like, oh my God, the sex, but just the relationship, insecurity. Yeah. I don't want to leave this guy alone. I'm like, I just, whatever. And yeah. And I was like, well, I've never canceled a show. I don't know what that says about Peter's dick, but I have never canceled a show.
Sorry about your tiny dick, Peter.
Yeah. No, I've never, ever canceled.
I don't, you've never canceled a show for being sick?
Never.
Like
no, the only time was when I fell on my head. That's the only time I've ever canceled a trip.
Do you know the only time I canceled without being sick was recently. I was supposed to go to Edmonton, and Edmonton at the time was like hotbed for COVID. And it wasn't even the fear of COVID. I was like, I don't want to get fucking stuck in Canada for 14 days.
Well, first of all, anything that was canceled in and around COVID is forgiven.
It's forgiven. And then, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
Then I'm good.
No, just like, you know what? I'm not in the mood. Listen, we've all been not in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
We've all had moments where I'm like, I hope no one's hurt, but if I got a call right now that, like, the place got flooded and they had a good insurance policy, I would be so thrilled. I don't have to pack the suitcase right now. Just because the laziness of packing. Once I'm there, I'm always happy. But sometimes just like you're tired and the thought of getting on another plane or whatever. But never, like, because there's a fun party that weekend.
Yeah, because the housewives.
Or I'm just burnt. Yeah, or the housewives invited me to something. And listen, I missed up, and I've been so sad when there's been a fun party.
By the way, did I tell you that this was my first season of The Bachelor?
That you watched it?
Yeah.
And you have any thoughts?
I do.
Okay.
I watched that, and I was really curious to see the live, you know, and
you mean the after the rose,
right,
where all the people in the audience.
Yo, for anybody to be mad that somebody else was having sex with, have you not watched the show?
That was so lame.
The fact that they were both so shocked. I was
right.
Like, are you new? Like, have
right.
you not?
You've been watching it since you were 6.
Yeah.
It's been on for 18 years.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
And by the way, if I was on the show and I was like, I'm going to propose to somebody, I'm having sex with as many people as I can to know. I don't want to get married to you if I haven't had sex with you.
Also, isn't the whole thing is like you're about to get married, so get all your sex with strange pussy before, and that might be, you know, number three and number two.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this was so crazy to me. And then what got me, like, to see people in the crowd like, yeah, fuck this guy. I'm like, what? He's on a basically game show.
Yeah.
To find a wife. What are we doing? But, like, I was fascinated by just how shocked and, like, the indignant. And a couple, like, the women's fathers, like, I'll hold my tongue. I'm like, dude,
like, how about... like, know that your wife, that your daughter is boning people on TV.
Yeah. How about that part?
Oh, my God. That would have never been okay with my parents, by the way. Never, ever.
No.
Did you watch the vegan?
100%. Okay. Twice.
All right. So she...
I knew you would love this.
She just posted this. There was a photo of her in tears next to her billboard where she's eating, you know, for the Netflix show. This is Sarma. She wrote, Dear Mr. Fox... putting these photos side by side for a reason, even though it's fresh, raw meat for those who say I'm playing the victim. There are more important things going on in the world than the misrepresentation of my story, but I'll continue to speak out in objection to the mocking of psychological abuse by Netflix and the misportrayal of these kinds of stories in general. Me looking like a glamorized villain eating cash salad is not me. It may help Netflix sensationalize the story, but at my expense and the expense of the greater understanding are the larger issues, including, and then she did hashtag, coercive control, narcissistic abuse, and cult mind control. I think, my opinion is, she thought this Netflix special with the amount of, you know, Dirty John type of stories and cult stories. And what was the one where the vow where the girls that she was like, well, I'm going to get my story out and everyone is going to feel they're going to realize that I didn't screw over this staff, that I was coerced by this weird guy. And people saw it for what it was. Yes, he was a weird guy because you believe that he could make your dog live forever.
Yeah.
And you married him because you needed $2 million.
Yeah.
After you started a business with your boyfriend, who you scooted out and snuggled up to the investor, that guy who was like, I don't care that she doesn't pay me.
Yeah.
Like, you're more privileged than Will Smith.
By
like,
the way,
shut up.
What about the very last 2 minutes of the entire series where she's on the phone with them and they're laughing with each
chuckling.
Other? I was like, what is happening? But I for her to feel like a victim was absolutely crazy. But if you, here's my, and I don't have a lot of rules in life, and I didn't know I had this rule. But if you think somebody can make your dog immortal, you deserve whatever the fuck happens to you. Like, I don't, if you're a grown human and you're like, you know what, I'm going to stick around with this guy because I think Fido is going to live forever.
You know how like stars, like really rich people are doing the cloning of their pets?
Yes.
So I was talking about with my boys and I was talking about with Drake, my older son, and he goes, I mean, that's so weird. Do you think anyone will ever do that with their child? And I said, 100%, if it's available, you know, and he goes, I guess like if your son died when he was little or whatever. And I go, well, I don't think that you'd have to be dead. I'm like, if I had the opportunity to reclone you, I would. He goes, you would? I go, yeah, because I would want to do a better job. I want, and I'm like, he goes, what kind of better job would you do? I'm like, you'd eat such better food. You'd probably be in a better school. I would have been more of like the tiger mom. I would have been, and he goes, do you think Drake 2.0 would be a better golfer than me? And I'm like, probably. He's like, I would hate Drake 2.0. I go, but he's your brother and yourself. And then they got so obsessed with the idea of it, they were furious that I was going to remake them and re-raise them as better humans.
That's
and
I'm hilarious.
Like, because that's why parents become really amazing grandparents.
That's
because
right.
You're like, oh my God, I want to do this better, or I want to spend more time.
And no pressure.
I want to spend more time. I want to read this whole book for 2 hours that you didn't want to do when you were 30. And like, that is exactly it.
Do you know what else? Cloning your kid. That would be the new threat of, like, instead of, hey, we're going to turn this car around, I'm going to clone you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Drake 2.0 is going to be smarter.
Yeah.
You know, better looking, everything. I'm going to get the braces on earlier. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because, like, I always think, like, I've wanted
Drake
to
clone. Drake 2.0.
I mean, originally, what I'd really love to do.
Would you clone yourself?
I would love to clone myself and raise it. 100%.
Oh, clone yourself so have a baby, Heather.
I want to clone my own kids and redo them, but I'm a little old to do that from start. But when I was younger, if there was an option, I would like to reclone Heather, because I would be like, don't focus on this.
Yeah.
Focus on this. Like, this is where your talent is. This isn't it. Forget it.
Yeah, you know? By the way, you know,
I know where you should spend your energy.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
My dad was really good at that. My dad was like not one of those dudes. I remember my brother and I, we each brought a drawing into him. And my brother was a great drawer.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad being like, hey, you're really good at this. Like, you should look into keep doing this. This is something for you in your future. And I remember handing him my drawing and him looking at it and going, this is not for you. Find something else. And I know I've told people that and they're like, that's harsh. I'm like, to me, that's good parenting, actually. Because I never drew again. I don't doodle. I don't draw smiley faces. Like, but that's not my skill set, man.
But it's funny because I said to Drake, I go, is there anything you would do different, you know, in high school? Granted, 2 years of COVID, they got fucked, you know? But I'm like, is there anything you would do different in high school that you might want to give advice? Like, you know, would you study harder or whatever? And he's like, I think I would have played baseball instead of golf. And I go,
what?
Were you that good at baseball? And he goes, yeah. And I go, I don't remember that. And he goes, no, I had a batting average or whatever. And I go, oh, all right. I go, he goes, they always put me in, they did this and that. And I was like, you were not sad when that Sunrise League, Little League thing ended. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, Drake 2.0 is staying
playing
in baseball.
Yep.
Wait, speaking of this thing, you know, they talked about how Alec Baldwin met Hilaria there.
My God.
The latest news is, wait a minute, I skipped it. Did you hear that Hilaria is pregnant with the 7th baby?
What?
Yes.
How many of those babies has she had personally?
Supposedly, because there's theories about her and there's moments where she's been in video with the Beyonce fake tummy that people think.
Right.
Theory.
What's the...
The only one that she has admitted to not caring is, I think there's like a 13-month-old and then there's an 8-month-old. And the 8-month-old, she had a miscarriage in there. And in that time of the miscarriage, she went through a surrogate fertility thing. Then she did get pregnant. So, or maybe, I don't know. But so then a baby was brewing in someone else and she was pregnant. And that's why they're even closer than Irish twins. The two little ones are like 6 months apart.
That's crazy.
And that's why. And now she's pregnant again. Is what she's saying with her 7th baby, yes.
I have to tell you as somebody who raised kids, 7 kids sounds terrible. It sounds like a horror story. You imagine coming home to 7 kids? Does that mean when that last kid gets out of the house, is he going to be 80?
I mean...
80?
I mean, that's why he was doing shitty movies with not enough budget for, you know, the right armrest. I'm sorry, but that is why.
What kind of baby is that old sperm producing? Does the age of the sperm change anything about the kid?
People don't want to hear this, but if you look up, yes, there is a little bit of a risk with an older sperm. There's a larger risk with an older egg.
Right.
But an older sperm, sometimes there has been a link to kids having some issues. But, you know, I don't think people think about that. And I think her kids all appear to be fine. She's not revealed anything that they're not. But
she must be so fertile. Look, I know that guys can have babies, but I can't be the only dude.
Let me just tell you, fertility is a brag.
Yeah.
With certain women.
Yeah. Is it? Is it a brag?
With certain rich women, it's a brag. Because it's like, I'm, you know, this like, you know, woman that's just, and also because she gets her body back and she's all about it. And the baby, then she calls them little Baldwinos, you know, in Spanish and like all of this.
Does she do it with the accent?
Yes. Oh, and I think it's kind of her brand, her identity. And I think, you know, but on the other hand, you know, hey, you're pregnant. Listen, I know big families. I grew up next to some big families, and they are fabulous today. They're all adults. They're all close, and their stories are really kind of beautiful.
But was their dad a senior citizen?
No.
Okay.
And like, their dad, like, and their dad, you know what I mean? Wasn't like, and they weren't all over Instagram, and their mom wasn't pretending to be Spanish, and they didn't accidentally kill someone on a movie set.
There's a lot of different,
But I mean, I'm I will never say that someone shouldn't have more kids. Like, if you're pregnant and you have that baby, like, that is your that is your thing.
Yeah.
These kids are not going to suffer at all as far as, like, education and housing and everything like that. So I do remember my mom said when she was in the grocery store with the five kids, and I'm number five, this was the 70s, and someone walked up to her and said, how dare you overpopulate the world like this?
In the 70s?
In the 70s. And, you know, what would the world be without Heather McDonald?
Right? Not a happy place. I will say,
so
though.
So it's like, you know, I'm very much like don't like when people criticize.
I'm the youngest of four boys.
Yeah.
But the youngest are, like, a lot of comedians are the youngest.
We figured that out, I remember, in the writer's room.
Oh, that's right. Chelsea was the youngest,
and I was just watching, Stephen Colbert. And he was interviewing somebody, and he's the youngest of a big Irish Catholic family. He's never, and there are so many that are the youngest. And just like presidents, all but one is a firstborn male.
What?
The only one that's not a firstborn male is JFK. And it's only because his brother was supposed to be the president, and the brother died in the war.
Wait.
They're grooming him to be the president.
Every president has been a firstborn, like the oldest?
Firstborn male. And if people, look it up, if I'm off by two or three people, but yeah.
If Andrew Polk or James Polk,
yeah,
whatever.
The majority is a firstborn male.
Yeah.
Because you raise, I just remember like this one mom I knew, she was at this beach club, and I went to college with her, and she had like three kids really close in age, or maybe she had four, and they were all cute and they were little. And the oldest was the four-year-old. But she had a three and a two and a, like, one on her boob. And the way she talked to that four-year-old, she was giving him so much more responsibility, and he had to, versus if you had a family of five and that's the four-year-old, like, you're still, like, I mean, I just remember I sat in a high chair, and I remembered being, like, pointing and knowing in my head that I knew how to say the word, but they all got it for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah. And I was just like, and I was, you know, miss, you know, saying like, and just the fun of it, how everyone thought I was fun, and like your parents treat you different. And
the oldest
basically
is the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Because as a parent, you're just trying to figure it out too. You're young. You just have this little human. You're just trying, and you make mistakes. By the time that we came around, our parents were just like, look, don't die. We would like you to, and we don't want to parent too much.
But then also as the youngest, it's like, you know, what I was exposed to was completely inappropriate.
Oh,
because I could watch whatever TV I want. I heard their jokes. They were raising me. The older kids were watching me, and they were a 12-year-old watching a little kid. They weren't a 30-year-old that has a master's in child development watching a little kid. They're like, you know, so it's like it changes your perspective of life.
Yeah.
But also in these big families, maybe not in hers because they're close in age and all that. But like, I remember when there would be families that were like 11 kids, 12. If you talk to them, it was almost like they get assigned a kid to raise.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, well, my sister, you know, I'm number 11. And my sister, Kayla, who was number three, she was really the one that, like, raised me.
So crazy.
She was in charge. Like, they literally go, you're in charge of changing her, giving her a bath, feeding her. Like, and so that's kind of interesting. I mean, we don't see like 11, 13, but seven is a lot.
It's a ton.
And then he has an eight with Ireland.
But why this picture? Like, I'm so curious how he's blurry. Like, who picked that picture to
that
go
was
with their...
from, she did some post with all her kids announcing it. And so the Us Weekly just grabbed the post.
Got it.
Yeah. So there you go. Wait, I want to get to if there was anything else I want to talk to you about. Britney Spears.
Oh, I feel so bad.
I just have to say might be the weirdest post I've ever read in my life. So she's dancing.
That's saying something for her, by the way.
This one's pretty weird. She's wearing like an outfit, and she's dancing to this Cardi B song, you know, that's like pretty thrusting. And she's doing these thrusting moves, but she's still like pulling down her skirt to make sure it doesn't show her ass. And then she writes this. I don't even have it all. I'm doing online classes with like little book emoji in Minneapolis. Getting a deposit on the gift my Uncle Roy got my cousin because Leroy found a turtle in the drawer and the fucking car went into flames because the tire busted on the highway. So the police saved. And that was, I cut it out. But
yeah, thank God, free Britney, huh? Come on, man. This just goes
to this about?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what it's about. It makes me laugh when people were like, free Britney. She's got some problems, everybody. Maybe she should be free, but not 100%. Like, this is not normal shit.
And then recently, like, she posted photos of her boys that are, like, teenagers now, but she just posts the ones when they're little.
Yeah.
I really feel badly because I would like to know, does she really see those boys or hang out with them at all? And if, I mean, my God, my boy got embarrassed because I dropped him off at Crespi and he forgot something and I was wearing a completely appropriate outfit, but I was wearing shorts. And he was like, can you not wear shorts here? And I was like, oh my God. Now imagine if your mom is rolling around topless in the sand and like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's gotta be rough. Especially, I mean, I wonder how hard it is to be a teenager and have people make jokes about having sex with your mom. Do you know people like, I would totally have sex with your mom.
I mean, the only thing is, I don't
know.
Did
that happen to you?
All the time.
To your face.
To my face. People would come up to me when he came to school.
Wait, come over. This is Jacob Wolf.
Hello.
Oh.
Well, when you came to school, all the girls would say, I want to fuck your dad. But then when mom came
They'd
to
say
school,
it to your face.
Oh, yeah. Every time. No, 100%. There was no behind the back. They would just come up and say, hey, I want to fuck one of your parents.
Ew. Yeah. This cannot be at Notre Dame.
It was specifically at Notre Dame and at my middle school as well.
The
yes.
Catholics. The Catholics,
That's,
Heather. It's
awful.
The Catholics.
Yep.
God.
Now, let me ask you.
Well, there was a story where Brandon told me that some kid was saying that your mom's hot.
And how did that make you feel?
I could not stop smiling. I was like, what? And I paid this much school for you to be bullied? Do you want me to go up to the cute baseball coach and complain? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then Drake kind of explained what it is and like that it's like a bullying thing and like it's like a little thing that, you know, but I mean, but as far as this thing
this
goes,
is not...
there is this girl that's on TikTok that will read her stuff in like a Louisiana way.
Yeah.
And then people go, oh, now it makes more sense. But even in a Louisiana way.
That's not me.
I'm doing online classes in Minneapolis, getting a deposit on the gift that my Uncle Roy got my cousin because Leroy found a turtle in the drawer and the fucking car went into flames. Because the tire busted on the highway, so the police saved my... No.
But by the way...
Doesn't work in a southern accent either. It's weird.
That caption with that picture. I mean, what is happening... It looks like somebody combined Britney Spears and Amy Schumer's face together. And then, like, this picture, why she decided to go, hey, maybe we should just take another shot. You know what I mean?
Well,
nothing
no,
said
this
you...
was a dancing thing. But, so I screamed.
Oh, you screen grabbed it. Okay.
I screamed at a dancing, yeah.
Yeah, because that's a tough.
But, I mean, otherwise, I mean, if she was just going to lunch and her dress was normal, that's okay. But,
sure.
Like, she was doing this, like, angry dance and then this post, and I'm just like.
Would you go see her concert right now?
I mean, so I could talk about it on Juicy Scoop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
of course
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you would.
Yeah.
Of course you would. And she doesn't even need Will Smith to hit her. I can see it.
Do you think, by the way, do you think if you switch Kanye out,
right.
you put Kanye in with Will Smith.
Yeah.
I think we're having a completely different conversation. By the way, what you said was, yo, I think if you switch out just white dudes.
Well, Well, even if two... What I said is if two straight white guys, like if it was, let me just think of like two movie stars of the same age that are like both fit, maybe one's bigger. Let's say it was
Channing Tatum
and Chris Pratt or whatever. Boy, and Chris Pratt. I'm just saying.
That would be kind of hot.
And yeah. And he hit him. I think the reaction would be the same. I think people would be mad at the person that hit the comic or whatever. But it would be that. There would be this level that it would be a lot worse if they weren't two equal people.
Yep.
In stature, in industry, in sexuality,
but
in gender.
What that shows you also? It shows you that sometimes we read into things where things don't need to be read into. Yeah. Like, this was what it was. This dude got his feelings hurt and he went up and took a swing. Like, if you, but now if you make black, white, man, woman, sometimes we inject things that we're just, that fit that narrative instead right. of just, yeah, that person was mad. They took a swing at that person. Has nothing to do with black, white, man, woman, or whatever.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
What you were saying, like violence, you know, and stuff. And I've thought about that. I've thought about the fact that, you know, I'm very grateful that my sons have actually never gotten a fight. And they yeah. really don't even like, only once in a while have they physically wrestled. And it's usually because they're like bored and then it gets violent. But it started out as just like a fun thing. And then I have to be like, stop it. I'm afraid you're going to like, you know, bust a wall in the, you know.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, it's just not, when you're not around violence, if you're, you know, if it's not something that's happening around you, fortunately, yeah. you don't go to it. And also the
that's
screaming, a lot of people are saying the screaming of him screaming. It's like, whoa. What's it like to be in his house? See, you know, like, I don't know. That was weird. That was, the screaming was really very weird, too.
It just, to me, I guess less of an indictment maybe about his house. For me, it was just more about this dude who seemed like he was a little out of control. Like, maybe that is what's happening at his house. Maybe yeah. it is a little out of control. It was so sad, though, because you know what it did also? I like the idea of Hollywood. I like The Shine. I like, you know what I loved? I love that Jack Nicholson didn't give a lot of interviews. I like Leo not giving a lot of
yes.
interviews. I
the
like
mystery. Yeah.
The mystery, the movie star.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And this took a lot of that away from me, where I was
and
like,
it was,
oh,
and
yeah.
I've said this before, that the Oscars have fallen off for
agreed.
Many reasons. One, there's so many more things to watch. We don't go to the movies, you know, that kind of, you know, it's not like there's five movies everyone saw. But also, we were like, what is Meryl
yes.
Streep going to wear? Well, now everybody has their own Instagram, their own podcast. We know what they're wearing. We don't care. We know every intimate thing about them. You know, even Madonna in her heyday did very, very few interviews.
Yeah.
Once every 5 years, she'd go on Oprah. We didn't really know, like, who she was,
yeah.
you know? And it's like, yeah, now you know everything about everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just like, who cares? Yeah.
I do. I miss that. Like
yeah.
you know what I used to say the difference with people would be like, about comics? They said, you know, does it bother you when people come up to you in the airport or whatever? I'm like, no, because I understand my role. Here's how it used to break down for me. Movie star. Like when Tom Cruise, if he would walk through public, people would
yeah.
be like, there's Tom Cruise. That's Tom Cruise.
He's so small and
right. Yeah, 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 yeah. What size heels is he wearing today? Like that kind of stuff, right? But like nobody's walking up to him because movies is we leave our house, we go to a dark room, and they're larger than life and taking us to fantasy land. Not approachable.
And that's how it began.
That's
100
how it began.
Years ago, yeah.
TV, they're in my living room.
Yeah.
I can walk up to you. Comedy, I know your name, man. You're not Chandler. You're Josh Wolf.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know you. All those lines have been...
Yeah.
They're gone.
Right.
They're gone. They're absolutely gone now. And I miss... Like, I like the fact that there was that kind of movie star kind of...
Yeah.
I like that Leo doesn't give a ton of interviews.
Yeah.
Good for him, man.
Right.
Just be a movie star.
Date your 20-year-old girl.
And you know what? He's living a pretty good life. And he doesn't need, that dude never has to hit the gym. Not one time in his life. He can just be skinny fat for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he's Heather. Still got a cute face.
Is that all it takes?
Well, not all it takes. He's a huge movie star. He's rich. And I mean, come on. These 22-year-old girls
yeah.
now, they'll screw the grossest person for a handbag. Like, they're happy to be with Leonardo on his yacht. So, like, don't even worry. Their standards are so low. Like, sorry, I need to up the standards of these girls. Well, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Josh, tell everybody what you're doing,
okay.
where they can find you, what's happening.
I do a podcast with Jacob Wolf, my son, called Hey Man. And
I love it. It's so funny. The clips are great.
We have such a good time together. You know, he's admitted to Heather, you know what he admitted to me on a live stream?
What?
He was like, it's like that time I walked in on you and Mom. I was like, what? I go, you walked in on me and Beth? And he was like, yeah. And so I go, I'm so sorry, dude. I go, how old were you? And he goes, 17. I was like, yeah, yeah.
Because you had a story from when he was a baby,
yeah.
right? That you got, went viral.
When he was like four.
Yes, that you got on a Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
So I literally was like, God, Josh, why are you bringing up that old bit?
Seven,
oh, no, 17.
That's what, because when he brought it up, I was like, oh, that's what we're going to talk about. That seven. I go, what happened? He goes, he was he was 17. He was driving himself to school in the morning, and he was looking for the keys, and he thought we were going to be asleep. And he walked into the room looking for the keys. Like, at 17, I felt so...
And you never heard it. You did not know.
I was working.
And then... was it just horrifying?
I saw all that I needed to, and I went to my room, and I said... I'll just be late to school today. Fuck it.
Yeah. Understand. You know what else he admitted to me?
What?
This is why I love this podcast so much. He was like, you know, when you used to go to sleep, I used to take your car out for a joyride. I was like, what? I was like, how old are you? He was like 15, 14, 16. I was like, when I was asleep, just hopping in my car?
When you were out of town. Yeah. A little easier.
My God.
Oh, jeez.
But the podcast is a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I'm also comedianjoshwolf.com for tour dates. I'm having more fun on stage than I ever have in my life. I'm really like, I care less about what other people think are funny, and I'm really just having fun. He comes out on stage with me sometimes. It's like a whole, I play the guitar. Yeah. It's,
well, why doesn't he, he's a tall drink of water. Why doesn't he double his security? Save yourself a dollar.
I do anyways.
Yeah, he really does.
When I sell merch, I'm like, people are staying too long. I'm like, all right, so we get next photos. Let's all move it.
He does. He's pretty good at moving it along. He's pretty good.
Well, awesome. Thank you.
Heather, thank you so much.
Josh Wolf, always a delight. Wolf Jr., glad you're here.
Handsome.
Met you so long ago. Turned out to be a real cute little boy.
How long?
Cute little boy got big.
20 years?
I remember talking to you on the phone, and you're like, Joe. Now, I don't know if this is true, and I really hope it wasn't because the visual has never left me. But you told me we were doing shows at night. I was calling you, like, what time or where are we going or whatever. And you're like, I'm here, and Joey Diaz is in the bath with Jacob. Did you really put Joey in the bath?
Not in the bath. He gave Jacob baths. Joey Diaz was the babysitter.
No, I know, but I did imagine Joey Diaz in a bath.
No.
A baby, like an 8-month-old.
By the way, that was Joey over 300 pounds. Like, in those tiny little bathtubs, it would have been like a half a gallon of water.
I know, but I just still...
Just him,
like,
you know?
I remember going, thinking it was actually really cute that you guys were watching him and stuff, but I also got a visual.
He was... Jacob's babysitter, but not naked in the bath, baby.
Yeah.
Thank God.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.